Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'd like to say something.
This is Dirt and Spray.
Back in 82, I used to be able to throw a pigskin 1/4 mile.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
God, there was one week when you wore sweatpants every day.
Oh, you know what? If they were Sean John sweatpants, it would have been fine. But because they're Costco brand, it's like the worst thing I could do.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
Well, I'm rolling out, come on, the whole night.
Hey, welcome back in hour two. Dirt and Sprague with you. Happy Friday. I need a shower after that last commercial break. Sometimes you're just not a good human being, you know? You need that in your life. Let it fly.
Can I ask a question, though?
Sure.
Who started that conversation, Andy Dirt Johnson?
That's true. I did start. That's a
good point. But did I finish it.
Yeah. I passed it to Lynch, then Lynch alley-ooped it to you, and then I felt bad about throwing the initial pass.
There was like, why did I steal and then pass to Mike?
Oh, no.
All right, well, we have a lot to get to here in the second hour. Don't forget, we'll spray the line. We'll spray the line probably on the NBA All-Star Weekend.
Yeah, let's lay some coin on 3-point contest.
Dunk champs. MVP.
Team LeBron versus Team Steph.
Who's going to win? What's the spread?
Who you got?
Yeah, so we'll do that. Dieter Kurtenbach of the San Jose Mercury News, sports columnist down in the Bay Area. He'll join us at 1:30. We'll talk about the Oakland A's. What is he hearing about the Oakland A's? How does the city feel about the Oakland A's as Portland continues to eyeball that situation from afar? But I wanted to talk a little AJ McCarron to kick off the second hour. He won his ruling yesterday against the Bengals, and now he is an unrestricted free agent. The Bengals appear to not have any interest in him, thus leaving the door open for other teams to see if they can get AJ McCarron as their starting quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And this market for quarterbacks is probably as crazy as it's been. I can't even recall. And I'm not even telling you these quarterbacks are going to win Super Bowls.
Right.
You just don't see an NFC title game quarterback be on the market. You don't see Kirk Cousins, who puts up top 10 stats every year, be on the market. And a guy like AJ McCarron, who many had coveted as a prized starter, just win a ruling like that and become a free agent.
Yeah, it really is a unique market this offseason, because you also have to take into account that you got, what, probably four guys that are going to go in the first round of the draft, likely, and Darnold, Rosen, Allen, and Baker Mayfield. So you add that up with the guys who are going to be potentially on the market this offseason, you could have 10 quarterbacks available that some could try and argue could all be starting in the National Football League next year. Now, it's not going to work out that way. Foles might not be traded from Philly. I think Minnesota tries to keep one of their guys, even if they go out and sign Kirk Cousins. I think they'll try and maybe keep Teddy as a backup or somebody else as their secondary option. And this is another one to throw into the mix. It'll be interesting to see where he stands amongst teams. You know, AJ McCarron never really blew you away when he was at Alabama. He goes into the NFL. He plays because Andy Dalton goes down a couple of years ago. And the numbers were not awful. They weren't great, but they weren't awful. In the four games he started at the end of the regular season a couple of years back, he had 6 touchdowns and 2 interceptions, played in the playoff game. He had a touchdown and a pick, about 250 or so yards against Pittsburgh. And they should have won that game, if not for boneheaded plays by the guys who always make boneheaded plays for the Cincinnati Bengals. And how weird would that have been? He would have more playoff wins than Andy Dalton. So this is an interesting one, and I think it's one to keep an eye on, because if you're not in the market to pay Kirk Cousins top dollar, if you're not in the market to get one of those guys in the top 10, and I don't think it's that far outside of the realm of possibility to think all four guys go in like the top 12, just with how desperate some teams are for quarterbacks, if you're thinking cheaper alternatives,
yeah,
this has to be one. You know, I think Bradford will probably command a little bit more money, whether it's fair or not. I know he's got the injury concern.
He had the 71% completion percentage.
Right, 2 years ago, he was really accurate. So maybe you're looking at the two cheapest options being Teddy Bridgewater and A.J. McCarron, and there's a chance the Vikings could make a case for keeping Bridgewater. So the team is trying to save money, maybe get the most value out of the position. You could do worse than A.J. McCarron.
You think he's getting Mike Glennon money, or do you think it's going to be higher than Mike Glennon?
It's tough, because if I would have sat here and said there's no way in hell somebody's going to pay Mike Glennon that kind of money, and then the Bears did, and then they took a quarterback in the top five, which didn't make any darn sense.
Yeah.
But, yeah, if somebody's willing to pay Mike Glennon that much.
Why aren't the Bengals interested in trading Dalton and going with McCarron out of curiosity?
Well, at this point, they're stuck between a rock and a hard place, because if you trade Dalton, you have to tag him, because he's not going to he wants out of Cincinnati. He has not been happy with the way they handled it. Remember, they tried to trade him to Cleveland last year,
mm-hmm.
and Cleveland offered, I think, a second and a third round pick, and the deal fell through. So they knew he wanted that they were trying to trade him. And so if you move Dalton, then you have to franchise tag McCarron if you want him to stick around, and then you're in that hole.
What's his tag price? His tag price wouldn't be that high.
It's the same number for every player. If you tag, you get the starting quarterback tag. It's not a different. It's the same amount.
I thought the tag was based on the percentage of your stats and like how you match up.
I think it is all determined on the position that you play. And that's why Jimmy Graham, when he fought the tag a number of years back, wanted to be tagged as a wide receiver, because wide receivers make more money than tight ends in the franchise tag.
Yeah, even with that, though, I mean, you would at least have a fresh start at a quarterback that you think has the ability. Maybe that's it. They're in those offices. They've been around him.
Oh, I'm with you there.
I don't believe that he can do it. But if you're Cincy and you're looking at what Dalton's done, he hasn't been bad, but he's not winning playoff games for you.
Yeah, if you're Cincy, you tear it down and you rebuild is what you do. That's a smart
But then they brought their coach back. That was the shocking move for them.
That's a whole different conversation.
Everybody.
He was done.
National writers, everybody, Cincy's job was going to be open. And then the Bengals bring back Marvin Lewis.
Yeah.
And you're just like, what? What are they doing?
This to me, I think, you know, a lot of folks have asked about Cleveland throughout this offseason. Cleveland's going to take a quarterback in the draft, whether it's number one, number four, whether they, you know, move some picks to move into the middle of the round and take a guy like Allen or Mayfield, whoever it might be. They're going to take a quarterback in the first round. There's no way they don't. But the sentiment is maybe you go out there and get a veteran to come in for a couple of years and play and not force somebody into a Deshaun Kizer situation where he flames out because he's got nothing around him and you're asking a rookie to win games with a terrible organization. This to me is a perfect fit, that you give A.J. McCarron a shot. And if he's willing to sign there after you've drafted somebody in the top five,
what if he's really good, though?
Then that's a great problem to have, because then you have a guy that you trusted that you drafted.
Right.
And you have a guy that's played well, and one of them is tradable.
Here is the catch 22 of that. He plays well. Let's say he leads Cleveland to a surprising 7 wins. Let's go crazy.
Whoa.
I know. It's nuts. They win 7 games. He puts up good numbers. You can't. I don't know if you're in a great place, because if you trade your rookie quarterback after a year or two, Josh Rosen or Josh Allen, what if they turn into Super Bowl type quarterbacks? You know what I mean? You get stuck between
You do.
What your future is going to be.
Well, then you're in a position. Yeah. And that's
I don't know if that's a great place to be.
It's a better place to be than they're at right now.
Well, right. Anything is better than being winless.
Having two is better than having none.
Right. Right.
And you would be in a Philly type of situation, because Philly could move Nick Foles if they want to. They're probably not going to.
I don't know if it's quite as extreme there, because you'd be playing the vet who's just getting his first couple starts. And you said what? He's going into year 3 or 4?
McCarron is, oh God, how long is he?
I think this will be year 4 for him.
That sounds right.
He's still relatively young in NFL terms. This is when Aaron Rodgers got his start after Brett Favre left. It's not like Nick Foles has been around for a while, but you also know you have a stud in Carson Wentz. This is the reverse. This is if McCarron goes to Cleveland and plays really well and you draft a quarterback, you may think you know what you have in that rookie in practice, but you don't know what he is on the field in a game.
Right.
So it's tougher to part with both.
Well, yeah. And this, by the way, he's played 3 years in the league. He didn't play it all in 16.
So this will be year four.
And I think 16 was the year that he was hurt, if I'm not mistaken. So he played those games when he started was in 2015. And then last year he attempted 14 passes and appeared in 3 games. So he was a garbage time quarterback only this past season. So he hasn't played any significant time since his rookie year in 2015. But this got me thinking because we all put Kirk Cousins on a certain plateau.
Sure. You would probably say he's the best available, right?
For sure. I mean, it's a debate about is it worth the money, but there's no doubt he's the best quarterback available. Then I think most people would probably list Case Keenum coming off the year that he had in Minnesota, and this is excluding the rookie quarterbacks that are coming in. And then Nick Foles, to me, at least at this point, seems like he's going to be off the market, but that could change if he decides he wants a starting gig.
Philly wants two firsts for that. I don't know if a team's willing to do that.
And Wentz has said he's going to be ready for week one, but we don't, if you need a quarterback to start 3 games next year, that could be the difference between winning the division or not and having a guy like Foles who's accomplished. So that kind of leaves you with Sam Bradford, Teddy Bridgewater, and A.J. McCarron. And I was thinking about this because it felt like an easy answer to me. And I put a poll question up on this at Dirt and Sprague on Twitter. I think at this point I would probably take A.J. McCarron of the bunch. Like if the contract length and amount per year was similar, I've never really liked Sam Bradford, even though the completion percentage was great 2 years ago.
He doesn't stay healthy.
He can't stay on the football field. I want more than anything for Teddy Bridgewater to succeed. I love Teddy Bridgewater, but the guy has not played meaningful football in 2 years.
No.
And he's coming off one of the most horrific injuries we've ever seen in sports.
Well, we haven't seen it, but
we haven't, right? So, yeah, I think if you asked me if I'm down to those three guys, the market settles and I'm an NFL GM that's looking for a quarterback and the contract length and amount is the same, I would go with A.J. McCarron.
So you would go Cousins... McCarron?
Cousins, Keenum, then A.J. McCarron.
Okay. Yeah.
Over Bradford and over Teddy Bridgewater.
Well, the Bradford one is it's a wild card, but it feels like maybe that's what it is right now. We'll see. So A.J. McCarron wins his ruling against the Bengals. He is now a free agent. We'll see who's going to step up and pay these guys. That's the next big domino in the NFL is where all the quarterback movement's going to be and what teams are going to try to find the guy that hopefully can lead them to the postseason. Not good news for college basketball yesterday. Is your team involved? And are you terrified that your team's involved? Pretty big bombshell yesterday in college hoops. We'll talk about that next. And then Dieter Kurtenbach, San Jose Mercury News, will join us to discuss the Oakland A's situation and their stadium deal. All of that is next on 1080 The Fan.
In Sprague, on 1080 The Fan. Feel the earth
move below. I'm in agreement with a listener. I think McCarron's going to take the mantle for Dirt's favorite mediocre white quarterback. There was a vibe there.
Now, question, has Kirk Cousins risen above the mediocre label?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about Alex Smith? Is he still in that category?
No.
Okay.
Alex Smith got out of that before Cousins did.
Okay. So in that case, then, yeah, there's a chance. I also I'm going to add Baker Mayfield to the list, too.
Oh, you can't. No, I have Baker Mayfield.
No, I dibsed Baker Mayfield.
I did way before you did.
I called shotgun like 6 months ago.
I dibsed him when he was at Tech. I dibsed him when he was at Texas Tech.
I dibsed him when he was turning down Katy Perry.
I dibsed him when he was born.
That was awkward.
That's just weird.
Mike's just walking into a hospital dibsing babies.
Dibs!
Dibs!
My team.
He's going to be good. Dibs! Dibs. I called it first. Dieter Kurtenbach's going to join us from San Jose Mercury News. He is a sports columnist down in the Bay. We'll talk Oakland A's with him. But let's get to this NCAA basketball story.
Okay.
This was bad. This was not good. This coincidentally came out. We interviewed Jay Billis yesterday, and he was talking about how because there's some people or organizations or programs that are dirty, doesn't mean everybody is. Well, then this article came out, and to which I would say I think most people are that matter in this sport. Pete Thamel of Yahoo Sports released a pretty big bombshell yesterday, college hoop corruption case. You may remember the Louisville, USC, Arizona, just to name a couple that were involved. It goes much deeper, according to Thamel, than just assistants. This is going to hit a lot of Hall of Fame coaches, big-time programs, and lottery picks. He has one paragraph that says, how bad could it be? In terms of NCAA rules, multiple sources told Yahoo Sports, the material obtained threatens the fundamental structure and integrity of the sport, as there's potentially as many as 50 college basketball programs that could end up compromised in some way. Are the Ducks and Syracuse Orange involved?
Please don't be involved. Please don't be involved. Please don't be involved. I think that's what every fan of a good basketball program thought when they saw this story.
Well,
right?
let's just assume that we are all involved.
Well, not me. If we're involved, I'm going to be really pissed because we should be in the tournament every year if you're involved.
That's a whole different issue. If you're cheating and not winning,
yes.
that's
I guess
worse.
I should say we, as in the fans and or graduates of perennially good basketball teams, should be scared.
Yeah, everybody should, because this it's going deep. You mentioned the Hall of Fame coaches that are going down. You know, look, I think this has ultimately the chance to be a good thing for the sport. Like, we've known this is coming. It's all started when they arrested folks, you know, what was it, 5 months ago, 4 months ago, and all the assistant coaches were swept up in it, and Patino went down, and you knew that they were going to continue to investigate, and something at some point was going to come out, and people were going to get thrown under the bus, lose their jobs, and sanctions would be handed out. But when you talk about, and you have the line of basically saying this is, you know, could fundamentally change things, to me, that has a chance to be good for college basketball. Like, you can't keep kicking the can down the road and be this shady and have this much stuff going on behind the scenes without at some point it coming to light and you being forced to address, all right, maybe we should change the way we operate our business, because clearly this is not working. If this wraps up, Hall of Fame coaches, NBA agents, assistant coaches, current players, NBA play, like, you if you wrap everybody into this, maybe it's finally the step that we need to look in the mirror and say, all right, let's change the way this all goes down.
This is a funny way to kind of wrap it up near the end for Pete Thamel. He talks about when the cases are going to start, the trial dates, all of that, and he basically sums it up and says, until then, the NCAA tournament will be played amid the soundtrack tick, 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 tick of potential chaos. He adds, what would happen if the information under protective order were to be released before the selection show on March 11th? A source who has been briefed on the case laughed and said, quote, you might see Tennessee Chattanooga as a 2 seed, end quote. To which I would just say, you are just raining all over our tournament parade.
That actually would be kind of fun, though. Wipe everybody off and just get a bunch
just
of
see
mid-majors.
Who the next level best teams are.
Tennessee Tech versus
Richmond,
North Dakota State in the final
would
four.
Would you rather have that or the potential for the last in a while real tournament with all the teams involved? Like, what if these teams
this
get
is
a
the
couple
last
of years? Well, what if some of these teams get multiple year postseason bans or something? I don't know if it's going to go that crazy. But,
right, it could.
Yeah, imagine if the punishment is that serious, and all of a sudden the Kentuckys and Dukes and North
They're
Carolinas
just gone for 5 years
can't play in the tournament.
Give me one of those.
You want one more year?
One more big dog run. The title's not going to count because I'm sure that's going to get stripped too. But give me one more run where all these coaches are well aware. Yeah, this is it, and I'm either going to retire or it's like, yeah, I have to wait 3 years,
it's like
4 years.
It's like enjoying Bonds hit home runs in 2002. You know this isn't sustainable, but when they get rid of steroids, nobody's going to hit them like this again. Enjoy it while it lasts.
I'm still sitting there going, man, I miss those days.
Is that what you were thinking back then, or were you still denying that he was on steroids?
Oh, everybody knew he was on steroids.
Even back then, were you in your younger days?
I felt like Giants fans would be denying.
Did you defend him back then?
No, I mean, I defended him because everybody was on steroids.
Gotcha, okay.
It was, why do you single out my guy because he's the best? Your whole team's on steroids too.
Right.
That always cracks me up. Like, right. I know a lot of Mariner fans that give me crap about that. How do you like cheering for Nelson Cruz?
Or I would say Brett Boone.
Brett Boone. Go down a long list of guys that were on
Nelson
steroids.
Nelson Cruz not on steroids on the Mariners.
Yeah, well.
As far as we know.
Still
he was suspended for 50 games for taking steroids.
The boomstick's still going. Who is going to... If this was Vegas style and this was, let's say it's roulette, right? There's the table.
Okay.
Where are you putting your chips? What program's going to escape it?
Ooh, Duke.
Duke?
Duke.
Duke will find a way.
You're both saying Duke?
Yeah.
Out of all of the programs, who do you think is slimy enough in a nice way that they could get away with
it? It's for sure Duke.
It's Coach K.
It's for sure Duke. Yeah. Right? If anybody's going to, they can't tear down Coach K's legacy.
Well, sure they could, but he's the one who would get out of it.
Yeah, I think if anybody survives, it's Coach K and Duke.
I'm going to go wild card on you both. I think North Carolina is going to find another way to skate.
If they get out of the academic scandal, they get out of this
one too. They're going to turn it and say, yeah, we broke the rules, but we followed your rules doing it. So yeah. What do you do?
Maybe this is a you problem. No,
no. They're going to say regular students were also allowed to break those rules. So it's totally okay.
Yeah. We had a math scholarship student who accepted a bribe from a recruiter.
Right.
So, you know, this is all equal here.
I
think in the long run, this would be a good thing for college basketball. Like, you can't keep the status quo.
I like that you have that belief when you're legitimately maybe looking at the top 10 programs that could be postseason banned for 3 years.
How long can you keep the status quo going?
Well, I mean, as long as AAU is going to survive, I would say.
At some point, you have to look in the mirror and say, we need to pay guys, or we need to change the one and done rule, or like something has to change.
Don't you think this is similar to, I'm glad you brought this up. Isn't this similar to steroids? You're always going to have people that the drug users and stuff are always ahead of the curve. Now they've figured out what not to do still have an advantage.
Always be cheaters.
Right.
Always. In every sport, in any way that they can cheat, somebody will find a way to cut an edge or cut a corner. But just to have it this widespread, everybody cheats in college basketball. Everybody. Like, is that really the model of the sport that we want to just...
Jay Billis would not like that term, by the way.
Do we just want to pretend that it just doesn't exist and continue to watch and enjoy the sport?
Well, that's why I'm not shocked or surprised by this stuff. You know, I called it a bombshell as a tease. In reality, it's not. This is college basketball. Mike, you saw a national title growing up. You went to Syracuse, Dirt, Oregon, Final Four. You drove to Phoenix, right? You both have pretty good programs with good futures.
Hopefully.
Well, yeah, hopefully.
Fingers crossed.
But even, like, take this away and say they're implicated in it, you're still not taking back those memories. You go, yeah, you know what? Fine. 2-3 years being banned, I'll always take that for what we got.
Vacating wins is the most empty punishment ever because you're like, so the record book doesn't say it. I saw it.
Do record books even exist?
Yeah, who cares?
Like, is there like a record book at Oregon or Syracuse?
Right, like the Notre Dame thing where the NCAA is taking away all their wins from the year that got destroyed by Alabama. Notre Dame fans want to forget about that anyway.
Yeah.
They don't want to remember losing by 40 and Lene Kakua.
Yeah.
It's like, no, I watched that whole season. They should have lost 4 of those games. Yeah. I remember that year.
Now the whole season's Lene Kakua. It doesn't exist.
Right? It disappears into nothing.
It's a dude behind a curtain pretending to be a chick. It's just weird. What's going on here? That's what the season is. But, you know, I say this all the time, and it's unfortunate because my team's not very good. But, like, if this was Oregon State basketball, and I knew there was a chance they get busted for this, but it meant they got to the tourney and had a decent run. Okay, slap us on the wrist with your vacate wins and your 2-year postseason ban.
Right.
We'll do okay.
I kind of hope this hits before the tournament. That's a little anarchist of me, but I kind of hope that it hits right before Selection Sunday.
Well, how do the commentators react to it? Do they even say anything, or do they totally...
I think they ignore it completely.
You think they tiptoe around this?
I do.
Well, that's probably because they're partners of the NCAA, and they'll be like, we'll take March Madness off of CBS. And
exactly.
If you start talking about this.
How much is CBS paying for the tournament, too? They pay a boatload of money for those rights.
Probably a couple $100 million at least.
It's like the Shaun White thing the other night. They tiptoed all around that because of how much NBC pays for the Olympics.
Yeah, they put it on like 5 channels. So.
Right. Yeah, so Pete Thamel writes an article for Yahoo Sports about the college basketball investigation with the feds. It's only a matter of time until we find out how many programs, Hall of Fame coaches, et cetera, are going to be hit with everything that comes out. Hot take, real quick, and then we'll go to Dieter Kurtenbach. If Duke is implicated and they get a 2-year postseason ban, Mike Krzyzewski will leave the program for 2 years due to back surgery, and then he'll return.
He'll come back.
Just in time for a nice little postseason return.
No. My back's been bothering me for a while.
He does that with his teams regularly. all right, let's talk to Dieter Kurtenbach, San Jose Mercury News, sports columnist down in the Bay. What's he know about the Oakland A's? Could they be the Portland A's? That's next. First, Mike with a sports update.
This is Dirt and Sprague, Gone 1080, The Fan.
Hey, welcome back in. Hope your Fridays are going well. Dirt and Sprague here on The Fan. Well, there's one story I think we are all following probably closer than any other going on, especially this time of year in sports. And that is what's going on with Major League Baseball to Portland. Anytime any story pops up, we try and read it and follow it. And we are now excited to bring on Dieter Kurtenbach. You can give him a follow on Twitter at D. Kurtenbach. He's the columnist for the San Jose Mercury News. He wrote a piece back a couple of months ago about the A's and how the potential for relocation still exists. Thanks for the time, man. We really appreciate it here in Portland. And I want to start with what's going on today. If I've read correctly, I believe the commissioner is in town checking out the Howard Terminal site. So curious if that's true, how that's going, and where the stadium plans are currently at for the Oakland A's.
Yeah, the commissioner, I think that they're at the Howard Terminal site now, not to get too into the weeds, but the A's have been looking at a few different sites around Oakland. They kind of want the new downtown ballpark, and Oakland's kind of popping right now, part of the Bay Area boom. And the problem is the A's just haven't had any luck getting anything done. The Bay Area is not going to provide any public funding. There's no city that's going to provide any public funding. And after Major League Baseball and the San Francisco Giants shut down any possible move to San Jose, the A's have been kind of just stuck in Oakland. And if the Howard Terminal site doesn't work out, and that was their second option, then they're back to the Coliseum. And there are a lot of concerns that the Coliseum might just not work, period, full stop. And if that's the case, I don't know what happens with the Oakland A's, because they need a new ballpark, flat out.
You know, Dieter, in Portland, we have something similar. Like, we have city officials that, you know, totally against public spending on things like sports. And I you clearly can read that from afar of what Oakland is doing. But you do get a differing of opinion from sports fans in this city and how they feel. How do you think people in Oakland feel? Like, just sports fans, not the leaders, the sports fans.
Yeah, the sports fans, I don't think, care. I think that the sports fans are already sort of all in, and their side has been well picked. I think that obviously they would prefer to go the route of not taking public funding, but it's a non-starter in the Bay Area. The Golden State Warriors weren't going to get any public funding. They didn't need any. The San Francisco Giants tried time and time and time again. They ended up having to build AT&T Park with their own money. It just doesn't happen. The Oakland Raiders are moving to Las Vegas because they couldn't get a cent. And Oakland is on the verge. Maybe verge is too strong, but they've certainly lost two teams already. In the Raiders, who will eventually leave, we're told, and the Warriors, who are going to move across the bay to San Francisco, so it's not a total loss, but they'd be 0-3, and I think that people are open to that mindset at this juncture. I think that they understand the reality of it, and Oakland has a $100 million budget deficit just as a city coming up here in the next couple of years. It's going to hit that number. You can't be handing out money to a baseball team. It just never comes back as they say it would.
Yeah, we're talking with Dieter Kurtenbach. He's a columnist for the San Jose Mercury News. Give him a follow on Twitter at D. Kurtenbach. And you mentioned now we're into this, you know, Howard Terminal site, and that's the next step. And after that, it's potentially back to the Coliseum. It, you know, this has been an issue for a long time in Oakland, and I'm just curious if there's any rumbling down there of what a timeline would be from either A, the commissioner, who adamantly wants a new ballpark. Obviously, the ownership group knows that they need a new ballpark, but they've been working on this for years. Is there a timeline, do you think, that they're going to continue to exhaust things until they just throw their hands up in the air and say there's nothing we can do?
I don't know if there is a point of no return where it's essentially we have to sell the team or somebody else has to come in with private money. I don't think that date's been established, but the A's are going to lose their revenue sharing here in the next 2 years. So there's your time frame. flat out, the A's don't have the money. They cannot create the amount of revenue that they need without a new ballpark. And Major League Baseball's about to cut them off. So I think that there's definitely been an upward momentum. You know, as you mentioned, the A's have been looking into this for years. The Coliseum's been inadequate for years, but now the bottom line is in jeopardy. So they're really, really looking to make this happen. And there's a reason that the Howard Terminal site was the second favorite site. I don't think it's a viable site at all. It doesn't have any public transportation. It's in a pretty, it's in an interesting neighborhood, but I just don't see it happening. And that leads us pretty much to where we've always been.
You hear any rumblings about Portland? Like, we know Portland is included on the list of cities that Manfred and other writers have mentioned before of MLB wanting to expand or move to. What is a feel you get when you talk about the A's a little bit around there with other media types and whatnot about Portland's realistic chances of getting the A's, assuming they can't get a stadium there?
Well, I don't know who would be buying them, and that's really the thing. Who wants to pony up the cash to buy a Major League Baseball team? And we're not really at that stage yet. Mm-hmm. So I think it could go from 0 to 100 pretty quick if it's determined that there's just no good option for the A's in Oakland, or at least one that's not going to create the money that the A's think that they need. So until we get there, it's hard to really say. There's a lot of really good options when it's all theoretical, but someone's got to pony up the cash. You're going to run into a lot of the same problems up in Portland mm-hmm. as you have in Oakland, mm-hmm. which is someone going to build a ballpark, you know, $1 billion ballpark or whatever on their own dime, plus pay a couple billion for a baseball team. It's a lot of money. Now, that's not to say it couldn't happen, but until we actually have a team up for sale or they're really shopping it, and that's just not the case right now, it would be foolhardy to say or handicap it in any way.
I know you mentioned, by the way, we're talking with Dieter Kurtenbach, columnist for the San Jose Mercury News. You mentioned the San Jose situation, and yeah. that's been like designated Giants territory by both, obviously, the Giants, who don't want another team down there, but also by Major League Baseball. Is there any chance that gets reversed, or is that a pretty 100% locked-in stance that nothing is going to happen down there with the A's?
Major League Baseball and the Oakland A's went to court over it, so I think okay. that the resolution where Major League Baseball won and the San Francisco Giants maintain that territory, I don't think that they're going to take the time to just give it to the A's after they fought tooth and nail to maintain it as part of Giants territory. Okay. They should. They should give it back. That would be a very easy resolution, but we're way past that point.
I feel like you've painted a pretty good picture, so maybe I probably already know this question. What's your ultimate prediction? How many years are we looking, and then what do you think ends up happening with the A's?
I think that we're going to have a lot of spinning of the tires for another 2 or 3 years. And then I think ultimately the A's go up for sale. And there's going to be a lot of bidders from a lot of different cities. And I think that they probably find a way to stay in the Bay Area. But I think that there are so many parts of the lock that need to kind of be undone between now and ultimate prediction. It can go on. This team could be in Monterrey, Mexico in the year 2021 or, you know, London. I don't know. But I do know this. They're going to have a really hard time building a ballpark in Oakland. So if you're trying to be optimistic and think that Portland can get it, I think that step one of that phase is coming to a head here.
Does it make you happy to know that FoxSports.com basically gets no traffic?
Yeah. I'll take the paycheck up until it ended. Yeah. Now that they're not paying anything anymore, they can eat a bag of rocks.
Yeah, I think we had you on like a month before. We were talking hoops with you, and then that whole thing went down, and like, yeah, we're gonna go video, and lo and behold, here we are. Nobody wants to go watch those videos.
Let me know how that video thing's working for them. I'll tell you this: of all the places that I could have fallen to, I think I somehow found a way to fall up. So I'm doing A-okay. But I'm certainly reveling in them not.
Yeah, you're doing a great job, man. Keep it up down there.
All right, thanks, Dan.
There you go, Dieter Kurtenbach. Great stuff, Bay Area columnist for the San Jose Mercury News. And
did he leave you hopeful?
Yes, absolutely, he did.
Okay, he left me pretty damn hopeful.
Well, we're gonna have to stay in touch with him as this story unfolds, because the one issue that he highlighted that is a matter of fact, and I just don't see any way that it changes. They're not going to get a new ballpark in Oakland.
No, I don't think it's happening. No.
They're not going to get a new ballpark in Oakland. Every site that they've tried and attempted to work out has failed. Now, the commissioner's in town, and he's visiting this Howard Terminal site. And on the other side, I will tell you a little bit about that site and some of the trepidation that people have. He doesn't believe that they build a ballpark there, but that's where the A's have now set their site. They want to be on the water like the Giants and the Warriors, and now they're looking at Howard Terminal. So we'll talk a little bit more about that next. Also, a fun question for today. Now, we all know we live in Portland, so everybody probably has the opinion of, well, this is never going to happen anyways. Let's play the fun game. If the A's are to move here, we have a poll question on this today. Do you want to keep the name or change it? 55305. Crunch time next on The Fan. That's right, Crunch Time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Always $9.95 a month, so why would you ever pay more for a gym membership? Always fun to talk about it.
Casey Holdall, don't be a wet blanket, bud.
Oh, did he throw a wet blanket on you?
He did. He said, oh, it's that time of year, huh?
You know, the one thing that I don't know about the that I don't understand about the anti-baseball to Portland guy.
I don't even know if he's anti, but I think
he's... I'm not even talking just about him, but anti-baseball to guy in Portland in general.
Uh-huh.
If it doesn't take any public money to build the stadium and make it happen...
If. That's a big if, but yes.
Sure.
Yeah.
What's your beef?
None. There is no beef.
What's your issue?
None to be had.
I'd rather that private money go to roads.
That private money that, yeah, oh. Right.
Okay.
I mean, I'm assuming that's like what the thought is.
That doesn't happen.
I know,
people
yeah.
don't donate money to cities to rebuild roads. That's not how stuff, like, that's the one thing that I don't get. Like, you don't have to be a baseball person. You can not like the sport. You can say you don't want to support it and you don't want it here. But if it doesn't take any public financing to build a stadium, which we're never going to get that done in Portland. So if it does end up happening here, it's going to be outside of the grant that has already been passed and the $150 million that is already in place. It's not going to be any public money. I don't understand the, we don't want it. You don't, oh, okay, because you don't like, you don't have to go.
And don't go to the games if you got it.
If you don't like soccer, how many people out there don't go to Timbers games?
And they have no problem filling those seats up.
They're wildly successful because there's enough fans in the area and they have like a 5,000 person wait list to put butts in the seats.
Look, ultimately, this is, it really does boil down to what Dieter was talking about, though. They have a 3-year window here. 3 years. And again, this is the tough part. We don't know the group. They're going to remain anonymous. And for various reasons. And they should. It is going to get to a point, though, I think, in that time span of 3 years, how many people know about them behind the scenes? How much does Rob Manfred know about that group? How much does...
I think he knows everything he needs to know about that group.
Okay, but how much does the Oakland A's ownership group know about it 2 years down the road? Are they familiar with who they are and what they have to offer to buy a team and bring them? Because that is what's important, is making sure your hat is in the ring and you legitimately have a chance. It's no different than bidding on a house. You know, you want to put in a certain price point and you want to make sure the owner who potentially has to choose between you and a group of other people, you stand out and you make a compelling argument to get that team. It's the same freaking thing. And so even though this group is remaining anonymous,
yeah.
I would like to know, and this is something I probably won't, how much behind the scenes are they in conversations with the right people within MLB, because as he mentioned, they're probably not going to get this terminal site down in Oakland. They don't have another option. So you'd be looking at 2 years revenue sharing going out the window. At that point, the ownership group probably gets incredibly impatient,
mm-hmm.
doesn't want to build. And you're looking at 3 years, this team could be up for sale.
Yeah.
Is the group in Portland that we know exists, we just don't know much about them, are they ready to go at that point?
Yeah, and that's where I don't even know if it's going to take 3 years, because everything you read down there, I mean, the commissioner is in town in Oakland, that is, visiting this Howard Terminal site, but there is a ton of negatives about that site. As Dieter mentioned, there's no public transportation within, I think it's a half-hour walk, is what they said, to the nearest BART station.
Have you been there?
I have not, but there was a piece in the Chronicle on it this morning.
Yeah.
I'm following this pretty closely. It's a 20 to 30 minute walk from the closest public transportation, the BART station down there. And that's a big issue for them, that if you don't have an easy way for people to get there without having to drive and park, you think about there not being any sort of public transportation to Blazer games. How many Blazer fans take public transportation to the Moda Center, right?
Go look at
the max,
right.
You know, after any winter hot game or Blazer game or concert, and see how many people are loaded onto that thing that don't want to deal with parking. So that's a big issue for them. And everything that I've read, like, this is just the A's. They're saying the same thing about this site that they've said about previous sites, but most people don't believe it's going to work. And they don't have any other options after this. After this, it's to the Coliseum, either rebuilding
which is terrible,
restructuring, whatever. But it's not near downtown, and that site's not great. They've wanted out of that site forever. So those are your options that are left in Oakland. So I don't even know if it takes 3 years. And
2 years is the revenue sharing that he mentioned.
Sure, that they want to have something settled by 2021, which is when the revenue sharing goes away and the A's handouts are going to be gone. And they can't rely on making a profit every single year by not filling their ballpark and not paying players. They benefit right now from the system, and that goes away 2 years from now. And you mentioned the ownership group in Portland. Everything that I've heard about them is they have met with folks from Major League Baseball. They were at the winter meetings. They are planning about finding a site currently, trying to identify the right piece of land in this area. And they're just, I think they're waiting for their moment to strike. Right. I think the people behind the scenes who need to know who they are, they know who they are. Like they know who the group is.
And that's my hope, is that they have figured that out. The relationships have already begun, all of that.
And I don't know if it has with Oakland, because Oakland's not yet to the point, at least, of sitting down with people and floating the idea of selling the team. But when they do, the group will be ready.
But I do remember when Chris Hansen tried to buy the Kings to bring back the Sonics. Mm-hmm. Leading into that, before he offered, he had been on several interviews, and he had mentioned he had kind of gotten wind that the Maloofs were looking to get rid of it, and, you know, the casino thing wasn't working for them as well. Financially, they were trying to figure things out, and they didn't want the Kings anymore. And then a guy like Hansen, who's a money manager down in California, but he has the Seattle ties, he basically gets wind of this.
Yeah.
And relationships start to form. Hey, keep me informed. Keep me in the loop. I'm absolutely interested in it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just something we're going to keep following. You know, I know some people don't care. Some people aren't baseball folks. That's fine.
That's okay, though. If we talk Blazers, there's...
Sure.
You have 100% audience for everything we talk about.
Yeah, but we talked about basketball earlier, and somebody said basketball is boring. Please stop talking about it. But so somebody, you get it with everybody.
Somebody texts, I don't see how anyone can honestly believe that no public money would be needed. To be fair, trade-offs are legit only to a point, as even public stadium money would not be available for other community properties like transit or education, because it would likely be hotel taxes and such. And to which I would just say to that, we can only go off the information we actually have. And we were told through a story, this is private. This is $150 million, the grant.
The grant that was passed
that they got.
Taxing Major League Baseball players' salary, ironically.
And it's not like you got to go out there and build a $1 billion huge stadium, man. You can go build... What did you say the smallest attendance stadium was? Is it Petco?
Not quite. I think it's still Tampa.
Okay.
Let me look it up.
Take Tampa out of it. Petco's a recently new park, right? That was built in the last 7 years?
Yeah.
I think the San Diego one is like 23,000? 24? That's what you have to build. Like, Portland doesn't need a bigger one than that. Just build a beautiful park. I don't know where the location would be. We know ideally where we would like it to be, but It's not like you got to go out there and spend $1 billion. If you have 150, you know, you spend 850 to build a ballpark.
Yeah.
150 of it comes from grant. You can put together a group, and it seems to be, at least through the reports and what we do know, they have that.
Yeah, just from looking at some numbers, Marlins Park, which is one of the newer ones built, that's a 36,000 capacity. Pittsburgh and PNC, that's a 38. Progressive Field in Cleveland's 35,000. Minnesota's new stadium is 38,000. Tropicana's 31. That's the smallest.
Okay. Where's San Diego then? Maybe I'm wrong on which one's smallest, but
Petco is 40, just right at 40.
Oh, okay. So Petco is bigger than some of those other ones.
But, you know, in the new ballpark.
30.
Yeah, I mean,
you don't need bigger than that.
No, new ballpark they built in Atlanta or Cumberland, wherever, 41,000.
Cobb County. Yeah.
41,000. But you have some examples of newer ones. I mean, Target Field's new. That opened in 2010. That's 38.
Right.
PNC opened in 2001, so not super new, but that's 38. Marlins Park just opened a couple of years back. That's 36. That's kind of what you're looking for.
Everything's a pipe dream till it's not, right?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, and I tend to lean on the side that it's going to happen at
some
point.
We've never had a group before.
No.
You obviously had the Expo deal going on, but
right.
Every other conversation that has happened in the last 4 years on this topic, there were no legs to it. It was Lynn Lashbrook basically publishing something saying, I'm going to make it happen.
Or relying on money from a tribe to build a casino, and they'll build the stadium for you. And then some people, for whatever reason, didn't want the casino. That was the situation last time. And that's at least the one thing that keeps me optimistic, is the group, from everything I've heard and everybody I've talked to, is in place, and they're having the meetings and doing the work that they're supposed to be doing. They're ready for when the moment strikes, whether it's Oakland, Tampa, whether it's expansion. They're sitting there waiting in the wings. They realize it's not right now, because Major League Baseball is not going to expand until Oakland and Tampa is settled. And so they're waiting to see if Oakland and Tampa can settle. If they then need to move, I think they strike on one of those. If that doesn't work, then they're sitting there waiting in the wings for expansion. So they're ready to go. The group is saying they have the money. It's all privately financed, and time will tell. But thanks again to Dieter Kurtenbach, who came on to talk about the situation with the Oakland A's. If you missed that interview, we'll podcast it after the show. And he thinks it's 2 or 3 years, and this will come to a head, and Oakland will ultimately move out of the Bay Area. There you go. Crunch Time brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Always $9.95 a month. So why would you ever pay more? Free gym membership. You can find out more about where Sprague and I work out at crunch.com. Coming up in the final hour of the show, we got to Sprague the Line at the bottom of the hour. So get your fake sponsors in. Peyton Manning could be heading to a TV booth near you.
Mm-hmm.
Who should he be paired with, though? Because Monday Night Football is trying to force out McDonough. What's going on there? I am curious, not to dive too far into it, how Oregon State baseball fans are feeling today. Just want to throw that out there and see if I can reel anybody in. Just on your thoughts and feelings as Oregon State's baseball season has started and a certain pitcher is on the mound. What's the emotions like there? And we'll get you all set for All-Star Weekend. Load of final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.